Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Hey, I'm... Oh, it's just you and me again.
Yeah, it is. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. You and I. Working on that. Maybe in 3 or 4 weeks, we might have another voice on.
Yeah. And on the plus side, I can play the music again as we talk over it and not have to, like, weirdly stitch it together. I don't get that problem, but hey, that's for another day. What you been doing? Anything at all?
Nothing real fancy, nothing real fun. Got a keg of Wookiee. Can't remember if I said that last time. I think I said that last time. I did get a birthday bomb from the, or I shouldn't. A birthday porch bomb,
yes,
if you will, from the Pacific Northwest. So that's been a lot of fun.
Nice.
Having some good beers. We'll have one of those in this show and then one in the next show. So
sweet.
Should be good times. So again, because the birthday's coming up, and we've got another couple we hang out with, and her birthday is...
You have friends?
Up, believe it or not, outside of you.
Wow.
And it's hard to believe that I would ever admit you're my only friend. They're not made up.
Okay.
And they are not currently here with me right now.
They're not... They're in Canada right now.
Right. Yeah. They're totally lost. But, you know, we were talking about trying to go out, you know, like, let's go... hit a couple breweries, and I'm like, you know what I'd like to do is go to places that either I haven't been to or haven't been to in a long, long time.
Okay.
Like, Josh, you know, I talk about this every now and then. We're going to do this, and we just never do it.
Yep.
Because inevitably, I'm like, well, if I'm going all the way up here, you know, I want to go to the places that I like to go to that
right.
I, you know, also haven't been to. But after hearing so much of chatter about the pizza protagonist, we went there.
Okay.
Pizza delivered as expected, but you know, maybe not, you know, I wouldn't call it the number one pizza for me in town, but pretty good. Was not disappointed in that at all. Quite happy with it. The beer that was on tap was okay. I wasn't okay. Like, oh, I need to get some of this to take home, but like, it wasn't offensive or anything. Like, it was just okay.
It was mid.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we went over to Gilda because you've been raving about Gilda.
Yeah.
Weird spot, hate the parking.
Yeah, I could see that. That's why I've obviously never even bothered. It was always been an Uber Lyft, because the first time I ever went there, I'm like, there is no fucking parking here.
Well, there is, but I didn't notice it until after I parked in front of the paintball place and paid like $15 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then we're walking to the brewery, and I'm like, oh, look at all these spots here behind the brewery that I got to park at. Well, that's awesome. I got real excited at Gilda because they had an ice box allegedly on tap.
Yeah.
It was gone when I asked for it. I'm like, it's an electronic board. Why haven't you updated this?
Right. That's
but,
weird.
I had a regular box. It was perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
No issues. I know you say their food was really good. We were all full from pizza, so we're not going to get, you know, whatever there. The weather was nice. I can see a place being a ton of fun for any sort of like... you know, American soccer, European football, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
Oh, totally.
Like with a live event, I bet that'd be a super fun. And then we went over to Lenny Boy, and I haven't been to Lenny Boy in 8 years.
Oh, wow. Plus. Okay.
Yeah. It's been a long time. And I'm just like, let's just go. I never have like a bad taste with Lenny Boy. I just never, like when I see all this beer, it's just never anything that I gravitate towards. And so I'm like, let's just go there. Let's check it out. Had a great time. There was a cornhole tournament there. So parking was a little dicey there as well because everything was blocked out. But that tap room was just so comfortable with those big old squishy couches. And they have a very large flight if you're interested in getting a flight, and which is good because they have a lot of stuff on tap. It gets really overwhelming. I had one kombucha that I would have gladly bought a case of cans. It was a pineapple, a hard pineapple kombucha with lime and sea salt.
Okay.
And I'm like, this in the pool, I mean, like, I would be in heaven. But they didn't have, I mean, I could have got a crowler of it, but
yeah,
what's the point? But yeah, no, it was,
could you get it in a keg, perhaps?
Possibly.
I didn't know if you asked.
I didn't even think to ask. I think it was their small batch, so I'm, didn't really have my hopes up too high. But yeah, super fun day. Had a lot of good times with that, so...
So, I mean, in your honest opinion, Gilda, was it worth all the hype that I've given it?
We only had one beer there.
Okay.
So, like, you know, it's a tough call.
Okay, fair enough.
I've never been wowed by their stuff. I've just been kind of whelmed, I guess. You know, like, it's a neat spot. It was fairly quiet, so I understand why you like it. And especially if the food is good, I understand.
German sausages, man.
Yeah, I understand all the reasons that you're excited for it, and I could see it working for you. It's going to be one of those that I don't know that I'll be going back to anytime soon. Not
fair enough.
They didn't do anything wrong. There wasn't anything bad. It's just the parking's kind of rough. If I'm in that area, I'm probably going to be gravitating towards other things.
Yeah, I get it.
But, you know, one of the other couple doesn't like anything hoppy and very much likes German beer. So it was like, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was still fun. Still fun.
I mean, just to be brutally honest with you, and this is going to sound horrible to say, but
what has stopped you before?
It was a welcome change to have solid, good beer after going to Weathered Souls. Cause it was literally right there.
I bet. And you know, like Weathered Souls, RIP, you know, they were expensive, they were adjunct stout heavy, and sometimes, like, especially with the way the weather is right now, like, I just want a nice clean beer.
Yep.
I don't need all of that pomp and circumstance.
Exactly.
So I'll go ahead and ask. I know the answer, but did you do anything since last time?
Nope. Okay. I mean, part of it, to be honest with you, is still just kind of recovering a little bit from Richmond.
Oh, for sure. How do you not?
That was a lot. That was a lot of drinking. And my liver was like, we need to back off a little bit, bud.
How about we take a little siesta?
Yeah. Let's just chill for a little bit.
And I mean, I get that same way when I come back from like a trip out west or something like that. You know, I mean, like when you are doing like beer tourism and you're trying to absorb figuratively, but you know, you're trying to enjoy and experience as much as you possibly can.
Yep.
There comes a point, typically even in each day, where you realize like, okay, it's not that I'm drunk, I'm gonna go throw up or something like that.
Right.
Like, but I just like nothing tastes like anything anymore. Yep. And I'm just kind of tired of this.
Yeah.
I need a break.
And so that reminds me one thing that I forgot to talk about with all the shit that we did in Richmond. And it's a bummer we didn't do it. I wanted to do it, but, you know, circumstances just didn't quite work out that way. There is a Thai restaurant that's like, I don't know, 3-4 blocks away from Wells's place. They have the most insane collection of whiskeys and bourbons I have ever seen in my life. There were so many variants of like Whistle Pig and Michter's and Pappy and like all of this shit, dude. I was just like, I'm just sitting there like, oh my God, I'm in whiskey heaven right now. In this random basement bar, you know, Thai food place.
Love it.
I was like, damn it, I want to go. And I mean, they were priced. Like, that was the other thing is like, they had the price of each shot on the bottle. And you're like, woo, yep. A $300 shot of Michter's. Damn.
I mean, you know, if you're there on some other company's dime.
Yeah.
So be it, but yeah, that's a hard pass for me.
Yeah,
I don't. I say this a lot. I don't. I like bourbon.
Right.
I like barrel aged beers, but I don't appreciate bourbon, whiskey, scotch. I don't appreciate that enough to spend big money on myself for that.
I mean, here's an honest question for you: $100 for a bottle, yay or nay?
Depends on what it is. If it's one that I've had that I really like. But if it's one that I haven't had before, that's a hard press. Unless it's one of those, like, everybody always talks about these are the ones you have, you know, like Booker's and Blanton's and all that stuff. Like, I bought those, and they were, you know, roughly that range. The Blanton's, I'm ho-hum over. It's fine.
Yeah. All right, what about
Booker's is hot.
What about for a shot? Like, what would be the maximum you would go for a shot of anything? Like, and I mean, again, I am not kidding you, dude. Yeah. This was like 4 to 5 shells of just the top S tier whiskey bourbons you could imagine. And tons of vintages.
Yeah, I think if I was going into it knowing that it was going to be kind of a place, I mean, maybe 20. And,
okay.
And you're like, all right, cool. Yeah, you get Buffalo Trace for that. And I'm like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, even then, like, that's one of those things where I get really weird about cocktails and cocktail pricing because, right. when you break it all down, it's like, this is where the margin is.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Because that $35, bottle of bourbon that you've piecemealed out into, how many single pours of it, like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're basically paying, in that case, they are aging something for you. You're paying for it just sitting there on a shelf.
But it doesn't improve. It's not
right.
a beer.
Like, right.
it's what's in the bottle is in the bottle. They just yep. haven't sold it yet. They're yep. not doing anything for you. They just haven't
right.
sold it yet because
yeah.
they priced it too high.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you figure 750 milliliter bottle is roughly 22 ounces and change. So, to buy a $35 if they were buying it at retail and not even
wholesale
which you yep. know they are.
Yep.
And then to charge like even $4, they're making money hand over fist.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like they know what they're doing. It's fine.
Yeah, it's
good,
fine.
Good on them.
Yeah. It kind of felt like to me, and we weren't there very long, but it kind of felt like to me this was like a bourbon bar that just happened to all of a sudden have Thai food put into it. So
Now I want some pad thai.
Yeah.
I want some pad thai.
I get it. All right, so into the news.
Can we just talk about not depressing stuff tonight?
Yeah, no. Unfortunately, we can't. Duck Rabbit is
yes.
no more.
Are they closed, or are they announcing they're closing?
Well, they're announcing that they're closing,
okay.
but 20-plus years, and, kind of in the messages between the three of us, we talked about, I was never a giant fan of Duck Rabbit. Yeah. It wasn't that they made bad beer.
No, it was just very polarizing.
Yes. They had a very particular yeast strain that they used, which I will never forget. We were at one of the early QCBFs. It was in the neighborhood theater. And I was there. Hardis had just had one of his books come out. And so he's, there pimping his book and everything. And I'm grabbing some beers for him, just bringing them back. And they had this guess what the beer is. And the second I tasted it, I'm like, oh, that's Duck Rabbit. I'm like, no doubt.
It's not like it was. It was just polarizing.
Very.
I like you, it did not resonate with me. And I would try like collabs they did with others. I'm like, well, I can tell who provided the yeast,
Yep.
Like, I think, what was that one? That three-way collab, Foothills, Duck Rabbit, and Old Hickory.
Old Rabbit's Foot.
There yep. it is. I knew I'd get there. Like, that one at least wasn't as oppressively obvious that Duck Rabbit was involved. But,
right.
I mean, they made good dark beer. And,
yeah.
and they had a lot of things going for them. But, I don't know that I ever saw Duck Rabbit hazy.
Yes.
And, good, bad, or otherwise, that's kind of what a lot of places were having to turn to in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
After COVID, and we've been saying even pre-COVID, like, we're going to start seeing some of these breweries close down because business is going to get tough. So did they give a rationale for this?
Not really, other than, it's been 20-plus years that they've been around, and after a while, you get to that point in life where, do I want to continue this, or is it time to just pull the plug?
Yeah. Coincidentally enough, we were watching the last couple episodes of The Good Place last night, and they're at that part where they're, spoiler alert for season 3, but, they're at that part where, they're in The Good Place, and it's like, it's all good and fine, and so you've done everything you want to do, and then you just kind of want it to end.
Yeah.
And that could be what happens here. I
yeah.
mean, we often look at these brewery closings as this horrible thing, but it could be that they were just ready to be done.
Yeah.
The return on investment may not have been there. It may not have been worth the effort. They may still be making money and doing well, but they just don't want to keep going.
I mean, 20 years is a long time to do any job, and especially running your own business. And in this scene that had an insane growth when we first started doing this podcast and is now starting to, I guess, for lack of a better term, come back down to reality.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like you said, you've got COVID, and now you've got all these upcoming tariffs that you're going to be dealing with. Just could have just been a good time to say, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah.
I want to deal with it.
Yeah, get out. Yeah, I'm... So, hate to see them go. I mean, again, like we were going to say about all breweries that close, we, you know, hate for anybody to shut down because that impacts jobs and lives and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, it's their prerogative.
So, a little bit other more local ones. Have you ever heard of Brew Point out of Cary,
North Carolina? Sure haven't.
Okay. What about Cotton House?
Nope. Which, you know, I don't get up to Cary to go brewery hopping often. So there's
right.
that.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time I was even looking at breweries up there, it was like Trophy and there's like a bicycle one, like Gear or something maybe. I can't remember exactly what it was, but.
I mean, there is that NC Ale Rail train. Basically, yeah. It's the train that runs all the way up to Raleigh and it stops in Cary and Durham and Raleigh and like most of those. Where the stops are, most of the breweries are within walking distance of it. So,
yeah, maybe one day.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Being on a train, like, I don't know if I could drink and get back on a train. I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've been on a train for more than an hour, so I don't know how well I'd do with that.
I mean, it's not horrible, but yeah. There is.
Yeah, a little wobbly.
It's a little wobbly. And then, of course, if you don't pay attention or like, so they have a lottery system basically for business class seats. And we won, in quotation marks, the lottery seats when we were coming back home. But you don't get to pick your seats. They assign your seats. Well, the way that the trains work is they have backward and forward facing seats. Uh-huh. And so poor wife was stuck with a backward facing seat. Yeah, and I couldn't imagine, like,
no,
if you were drinking and, like, you would have done that ale trail and, like, and riding backwards, oh, man, that'd be a mess.
Yeah.
That'd be a bad day.
Yeah, I'd rather not find that one out the hard way.
Yeah. But, so, again, those two breweries, one is Chapter 7, which, so just so everybody knows, there is different versions of bankruptcy. Chapter 7 is typically the badden. That means you're gone. You're closing, you're selling. You have too much debt, you can't get out of it. And then you've got Chapter 13, which is a restructure, typically, of your debt, where you go through a court system and you get your debt reallocated. So,
there's Chapter 11, when your president, boardman, chairman, CEO gets greedy and tries to line his own pockets and gets caught. No, wait, I'm thinking of something else. I'm sorry. Hold But yeah, Chapter 11 is restructuring as well.
Yeah, it's another restructure. So Brew Point is a Chapter 7, so they're just going to be completely gone. Cotton House looks like they're going to be a Chapter 11, so they're going to do some debt restructuring.
Which, you know, may be a stay of execution for them. Maybe they find a way to pull out of it. Let's hope so.
Yeah, and then apparently just kind of goes, this like covers a bunch of different ones. The Alamo Brewing Company, never heard of them, based out of course, Texas. They're restructuring.
I'll say I was in Texas, you know, a few weeks back, and it's maybe my third time to Texas, and maybe I'm buying the wrong beer. I just I can't find one down there that I really get excited about. I even saw there somebody had a hotel bar,
mm-hmm.
and they had somebody local's Mexican lager. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's the beer that looks like Dos Equis, drinks like Dos Equis, but isn't Dos Equis. Are you sure you don't just want a Dos Equis? And I'm just like, you know, like, I'm going to try and support the little guy. And
well, isn't Jester King there?
Yeah, but not where I was. You know, okay. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Gotcha.
It's like a lot of things. Just because, you know, XYZ Brewery is in that town or that area right. doesn't mean that it's necessarily where you can get to it. So
that's true. And one last one, and I'm curious if you remember these guys, Nebraska Brewing. Do you ever remember them?
Sounds familiar. Do they have those huge bottles?
Yes.
Okay, I remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah. Big time at Total Wine. Like.
Yeah, I remember Grant having a bunch of them too.
Yeah, and then what's the place that does the kegs? That's by the old office. That used that beyond 74.
Oh, Custom Home Pub.
Yeah, there we go. They used to carry some of their stuff too.
Huh.
Oh, I remember seeing, especially that one that was on 74 where they had actually kind of a bottle selection.
Right.
I remember seeing that. Well, anyways, they're chapter 11ing as well. So There is a lot of either restructuring of debt or just flat out closures, and we're just going to see more and more of this.
I don't know that these articles will ever go into the detail that we'd right. love to see to be able to really pick it apart, but part of me wonders how often these Chapter 11 situations are coming about because you've got a brewery whose lease comes up for renewal and they don't have an option and they get stuck in a bad spot. They think they can make it work and it just isn't going to work. And they have to go Chapter 11 just to save whatever they've got left.
Yep.
Which sucks, but landlord's going to landlord.
You're right. Big shout out to Shrieking Bigfoot. Big boo to Biz Journals, which would not let me actually read this full article. But Shrieking Bigfoot on our subreddit threw up a story that Minnesota's beer production is on the rise, where everybody else is kind of faltering a little bit.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what could cause that, but, you know.
It's Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It's cold as shit there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's... I feel like we've had some stories about some of the more insane growler laws going on up there.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think we're starting to see, like, so growing up in a rural area of southern Indiana, it always took a little bit longer for stuff to get to us.
Yes.
Like, Guess jeans were about a year after everybody else had them. You know what I mean? Like, it took a while. And so maybe that's what's happening here. Maybe that craft beer boom is finally starting to hit in Minnesota because people are looking for something different. And
yeah,
that's cool. I like that. Good news. I like it.
Yes.
Great news, everyone.
For once, good news. And finally, good news, we had the World Beer Cup.
Yeah. A lot of... this is the... Every other year... Where's Wells winning?
Every... other year that this goes on, I believe. It may be more.
Yeah.
But we've got some winners from North Carolina, and then you said you wanted to talk about a few other breweries.
Yeah. First off, we'll stay with North Carolina here. You know, so shout out to Diatribe. Continuing to go up my list of breweries I need to visit when I go to Asheville, but they won gold medal for their chocolate porter, which I don't know why a porter sounds great all of a sudden, but this porter sounds good.
Yeah.
Legion here in Charlotte won for their got silver for their dry stout. Highland in Asheville got a gold medal for their Kolsch. Armored Cow here in Charlotte won for a gluten-free beer. And then Pilot again. Was it GABF or was it World Beer Cup that they won?
I feel like it was GABF.
Okay, yeah. So if that's the case, then that's two big competitions in a row where they've walked away with a gold medal. This time for International Dark Lager. That just sounds good too.
It does.
I might be thirsty. I'm sorry.
A few others that are on here. Wiseman won twice, actually, out of Winston-Salem. Old Hickory.
Forest Hills, I don't know what Wells would be able to tell us which one that was, but
yeah. And then this one actually kind of surprised me that they listed Sierra Nevada being here and not Chino, but I know that they've got two production facilities, but so obviously that beer was produced here in North Carolina.
Gold medal for a Weizenbach.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I want to say they actually won a medal from their California site as well. You scroll up to there. California really brought home a lot of good grief. So many awards. Let's see here. Scrolling down. There's a Necrocat from Ghost Town. I was really impressed. Ghost Town won like four medals.
Nice.
Russian River pulled in one for one of their wild ales. Lot from Beechwood. There's Russian River. Damnation. Yeah, Damnation's a good one. Pizza Port. Firestone Walker for Union Jack. There it is. Sierra Nevada's ESB.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know they made an ESB.
Well, yeah. Today I learned, right? TILISO. All right. And then Golden Road, a.k.a. AB InBev 1 for their mango cart.
Shaking my head.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. But yeah, it's kind of cool to see, again, like, you know, neat to see Ghost Town pulling a bunch of wins. Sierra Nevada, Russian River, like, not really surprising. Scott actually sent me this link as well and was a little bit taunting because the article he sent was said something to the fact of West Coast breweries win most awards for New England style IPA. And I'm like, yeah, that kind of tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, respectfully, they're just, they have more experience. So
they do. And you also wonder too, like, is another half or a Veil or some of these breweries even submitting beer for this?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I guess you could look, but it doesn't always show on these lists, like, who entered. It just shows, like, who won. There's Virginia. Star Hill. Wow, I haven't seen that name in a while. Norfolk. Aslan. You know, and so maybe they just didn't put any beer in. I mean, sometimes the hard part with these lists is you look at it and say, well, golly, I really like this one local beer of mine. Why didn't it win? Well, if they didn't submit it.
Yeah, if they don't submit it, you're never...
That, you know, that, like, that costs money, and depending on, you know, the competition, yeah, and how much and all that kind of stuff. And
you well, know, and especially, like, let's think about a category like IPA.
Yeah.
I am sure that there are thousands of submissions for that style of beer.
Yeah.
Versus a German dark lager, there may be 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're playing the field, basically, right, in that case.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Makes it tough. Makes it tough.
And if you think your shit is worth it, you really better think your shit is worth it if you're going to enter a category that probably has thousands upon thousands of entries.
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, there's the frustrating thing we've run into in the past where, you know, some brewery wins for some particular beer. They made it one time.
Yep.
Like, cool, but also not cool.
Right.
You know, like, so you get the name pop and more people are interested in your stuff, but wouldn't it be great if you were also making that beer on the regular?
Yeah. If it could be easily obtainable and not, like you said, just, yeah, this random one-off beer that they may have made, like, a 5-gallon batch of, and most of it went to the World Beer Cup, and you're, right, never going to see it. Yeah. Yeah.
Good times, though.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready for break?
Let's do it.
We'll be back in 30. Buy No Buy. Jeff, how does that work?
All right, Buy No Buy. We'll talk about the beer that we have been drinking throughout the course of this show. And do we like it? Would we buy it again if we could get a hold of it? Sometimes it's tough because we have, you know, in this case, two beers that were sent to us by Scott. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
I can't just, like, walk to the store and get it myself, but if I could, you know, maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. We'll talk about that. Meanwhile, like, if you'd like to see some of your local beer or hear some of your local beer on the show, reach out to us.
See pictures, too, on the website.
That's,
yeah,
right. Yeah, I'll put the pictures up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, drop us a line over email, contact@craftbeercast.com. We'll work something out and see what we can do. So,
cool. What's the first beer up?
First beer up, thanks, Scott, again, for a can of Russian River. Hooray!
Huzzah!
So it's a can, so you know it's not, like, Pliny. You know, and it's not some of the other stuff. But this is Velvet Glow, a pale dry lager. This is classified, at least in Untappd, as a Helles. This is dry. It is crisp. I love it. I need, like, a keg of this at home. Spoiler alert. I love it a lot. Big buy. Josh?
Yeah, that is real tasty. That is damn tasty. I did remark, and if you go to the website and look, from a distance, the can actually kind of looks like a Sierra Nevada. Looks like a Arizona iced tea, like the artwork on it. I don't think this was an intentional grab at all. just kind of looks that way. But beer wise, yeah, this is absolutely fantastic. A nice crispy boy, especially on a day like today. Oh man. So yes, absolute buy. Next beer up.
Next beer up from the Alchemist, the other side of the country, shall we? This is Skadoosh. I don't know if this was if they made this thinking of you, Josh, a ska douche, but here we are.
I hate you.
I know. So this is from the Alchemist. This is part of their rotating American IPA series, like a lot of breweries have anymore, where they just get to try things out and play around with different hops and whatnot. I didn't think to look to see what's actually in this one. It is a hazy boy. It is, I'm trying to pick the fruits. Do you know that? Can you, I don't know if you're.
There's a little bit of stone fruit.
Uh-huh.
Definitely get some orange pith.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of lemon pith.
Yep.
Limey.
Yeah. I'd be super interested to try this as a non-hazy. That's what I'm going to say all the time.
Yeah.
It's actually solid. I would, you know, if I'm at the tap room, I would buy this. I don't know that I would get cases or large amounts of it, but yeah, this is good. I like it. Josh?
Hook it to my veins! Yeah, this is fucking delicious. This is absolutely delicious. And you know what's funny is I've been seeing this thrown around a lot online, and I'm curious to get your opinion on it. Do you feel like Heady Topper might have been the first real kind of hazy IPA that made it big?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like that was part of the appeal. Like, if you remember the, and I don't know, maybe they still do this on the cans, but the cans were like, you know, drink it out of the can, so you get the maximum whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like not to say that there weren't other hazy IPAs at that time, but Heady Topper really turned.
Well, like, I mean, were there?
Huh?
I mean, really, were there? When you think about when, so think about Tribute, right?
Right.
And how long ago was that?
100 years ago.
I don't think hazies were a thing back then.
I don't think they were either. It just was this crazy hopped.
Really cloudy, weird looking IPA that we're all like, why can't I see through this? What the fuck is this? But it's so good. But
yeah, I don't know that there was too many others, because everything at that time was the more malty caramel American IPA.
Yep.
There was a lot of, like, that was when Stone's West Coast, you know, 10% bombers were really big.
Yep.
You had your Sierra Nevada stuff. Like, the idea of doing a hazy, like, hazy stuff were Hefs, and that's pretty much it.
Yep.
And it really, like, you know. You may argue, we can argue about whether or not Heady Topper is the greatest beer of all time, but it absolutely was a monumental, you know, flagpole milestone for the craft beer industry and where things went.
I mean, I still to this day will argue, like, that is a bucket list beer. If you were into beer and you've never had Heady Topper, which has gotten really easy to get now compared to what it used to be, but still. Like,
well, they're making a lot more now.
Yeah.
They had so much success, they were able to grow their business and get more capacity. And
I mean, I remember the first time of actually seeing, you know, you hear about this beer, and then the first time actually seeing it and then getting to try it, I was just like, holy shit, this is, I mean, it was transcendent enough that we decided to make a knockoff variant of it.
Yeah, that small batch was great. And it's even funny when you go to, like, you go to Bottle Shares and you hear some of these beer nerds are like, yeah, you know, I got like a 4-pack of Heady at home. I didn't bother bringing it.
Yeah.
You know, although we did have one at Wheels for Wishes this last year. But
I mean, what's wrong with you if you didn't bring it? You should bring it. Everybody should get to experience that beer. Well, anyways, back to this beer.
Yeah, I mean, like, back in the day, I would always bring a bottle of Dark Lord. Dark Lord arguably is not a great beer in today's standards. But again, another one of those milestone moments for craft beer of, like, you need to understand the classics. You know, you can't just get into music today without understanding some of the past.
Right.
You know, otherwise you'll say things like, why are the Beatles singing that Justin Bieber song?
Yeah.
You know, like.
No, totally. But back to this beer. Yes, this is an absolute buy. Fantastic. All right, final beer up.
Final beer up. Thanks, Josh, for bringing this one back from your trip out to Virginia.
Yeah.
This is Triple Crossing's Falcon Smash. In case you feel like smashing falcons.
I mean, who doesn't?
I know how much you love a smash beer. It's one of your favorite things.
It is.
This is really good. I do like Triple Crossing. I like their beer. I don't buy a ton of their stuff, but I do like this. I would buy it. Josh, I know how much you hate this beer.
Oh, it's terrible. So, you know, of course, this is one of those, like, we go, the kids are running around, which whatever, hey, but we got good pizza. And of course, that first thing that I see, like, they have all, they didn't have a ton of stuff on tap because I think they were getting ready for an anniversary party. But of course, getting Falcon Smash on tap was an absolute joy and a privilege on that trip, so absolutely I'll buy that. So Jeff, so for I tap that, how does that work?
I tap that is our pick for the best in show for us. What is the beer that we liked the most, the one that we'd like to have a whole keg of? And as spoiled earlier, it is the Velvet Glow for me. sometimes even with a Helles, it can be so mild that it doesn't have a whole lot of flavor on its own.
Yeah.
I feel like Russian River did a great job with this beer in making it clean and crisp, but also interesting. I would go ham on, like, I probably would get a keg of this, and then I would get my big beer steins out and just, like, beer stein it, because why not?
You should have a Das Boot of it.
Maybe. Oof. How about you, Josh?
I mean, don't get me wrong. That one is really good. But Skadoosh is, of course, the clear winner of the bunch. I mean, these are all three bangers. Like, Scott, you did a bang-up job of just sending some fun stuff. By the way, I was texting with him because I found a random Seattle brewery at Common Market that had a one-off drop. I'll show you. I don't remember the name of the brewery off the top of my head. But I'm like, yo, have you ever heard of these guys? He's like, yeah, they make some really good stuff. How did you get that? And I'm like, I don't know, it just showed up at the bottle shop. It was just here.
It's 7 months old, but hey,
yeah,
they're expanding in this territory for this one drop because
right.
They had too much beer.
Exactly. All right, so we're at the end of the show. Where are we at?
Come check us out on the interwebs. Go to craftbeercast.com. One of these days, I'm going to figure out why the posting, like our the show doesn't post correctly all the time, and then it's definitely not going to socials, and we'll work on that. At CBcast on the sheets if you want to follow us there.
Yeah.
Patreon if you want to support us would be awesome. Otherwise, Josh, anything else?
Our subreddit, don't forget about that. Shrieking Bigfoot, you're always really good about that. But anybody else that ever wants to throw stories up there, that's probably the best place to do it because you will definitely get some visibility from myself and Wells. So if you want to do that. And other than that, we will talk to you all next Thursday.